I didn't introduce myself earlier. My name is Kevin Porter. I'm a student minister here. I'm an ACU Wildcat alum. I'm a Dallas Cowboys and Mavericks fanatic. Sorry, guys. No apologies. I don't care. Bring the booze, you know? Thank you for that. Yeah, thank you. I'm husband to Darcy, not the interpreter standing right here. That's Tracy, but my wife is over there. She's also an interpreter. I like to say she's the most famous person in the church that never has to say a word because she interprets sign language, and so she's sitting over there. And unfortunately for you guys today, I'm Ronnie's replacement. He's out of town, and you guys got me. It's Senior Sunday, so here we go. And you might be asking, Kevin, what do you bring to the table as Ronnie's substitute? I mean, really, do you have what it takes? Because Ronnie's got this great booming speaker's voice, right? You know? And when he's not here, sometimes they'll get Ryan Bean to preach. And if you ask me, Ryan Bean is too good looking. It's distracting to look at him. So you don't need that. You just need to focus on Jesus, not on him. And so it's better that he's not up here. As Shane Gage, sometimes he preaches. And who cares? So he spent decades serving the Lord in foreign countries. Big whoop, you know, like, that doesn't mean much, does it? But me, well, I'm the people's man, the common man. I'm the guy you look at and say, now there's a bar I can step over. I can relate to this guy, okay? And so hopefully you'll be able to relate to the stories that I share with you. It's going to be a good morning, hopefully. But seriously, who I am is defined clearest when I look at Jesus, because he's given me the gracious gift of becoming one with me. And so now who Jesus is, that's who I am. But you better believe that I have a hard time, I have a struggle believing that, because it's a very strange thing to think that who Jesus is actually who I am. And so I have a confession to make related to that. About 2 months ago, I started preparing for this sermon. And I had this grand vision that I would come in here on Thursdays and I would begin to let my thoughts develop of what I was going to say. And so I'd get up here on this stage and there'd be a bunch of imaginary yous sitting in the pew. And I would just basically start to do the equivalent of like freestyle rapping, but preaching. And I would just, whatever came in my head, I would just let it come out. And I would see, it sounds way cooler than it actually is. Or maybe it doesn't sound cool, I don't know. But that's what I would do anyways. And so I'd stand up here and I had this experience where at first I got really excited about the opportunity to preach. And then after a couple weeks, I realized, oh, that excitement kind of turned to anxiety because these people are giving me their time and I want to say something that's worthwhile to listen to. And then it went from excitement to anxiety and it bottomed out in fear because I realized that this was going to be a moment where I might be judged. It's going to be a moment where I could potentially receive approval from people, and what if I wasn't enough? Have you had that feeling before where you're in a situation and you wonder, am I enough? Well, that broke me in a quiet room with nobody in here but me and God. But I want you to know it broke me in the best possible of ways because God showed me that today I'm not really preaching for you guys. I'm preaching for God. I think you know what I mean by that. You're God's audience, not mine. And so I'm not saying something to you today. Hopefully God is saying something to us, and I'm just the vessel that it comes through. And so that realization, that set me free. And so will you guys pray with me right now, because that's going to be directly related to where God is taking us this morning, is that freedom that we can walk in. So if you guys will bow your heads, and let's just pray before I get into our lesson, okay? Lord, we need you. We need you to show us that you have already approved of us, and that is the only approval that we need. And so I thank you for that truth, and I pray that you would do that work in us so that we can walk in freedom. We ask that you would speak through me only what you want, and anything that's not of you would just fall away and we'd forget about it. We pray in Jesus' name, amen. You could say because of this, I was living a life with strings attached. I had a string attached to my assumption of what I thought you guys would want me to say. And that string that was attached to me was really kind of obligating me. You guys know the phrase, no strings attached. You get a phone call and they say, congratulations, you have won a free vacation. And you immediately know it's not just a free vacation. There's a string attached to that vacation because all you've got to do is go listen to this short presentation about a timeshare that you could own, you know? And so you have to go to this thing in order to get the vacation and you realize there's strings attached to this deal. And this is exactly what happens in our lives. For me, I had a string attached to you. And so, when I was concerned about what I thought you guys would want to hear, Who was I not concerned with? One concerned with God. It was a distraction for me to be worried about what other people thought, and it literally kept me from being able to think about, God, what do you want me to say? Well, King Saul, from the book of 1 Samuel, he and I, we have this in common. He was the first king of Israel, and he had more strings attached than a grand piano. And we're going to talk about that because I think it applies to our life in some very serious ways, okay? So the reason that Saul came king was because the people of Israel didn't want God to be their king. They said, we want a king like all the other nations around us. We want to look just like them. And we see this story in 1 Samuel, so read along with me, okay? The people say, no, we want a king over us. Then we will be like all the other nations, with a king to lead us to go out and fight our battles. And so God says to Samuel, who's the leader at the time, he says, listen to all that the people are saying to you. It's not you they've rejected, but they have rejected me as their king. Do you notice that? Even God himself wanted to be their king. He says, from the day that I brought them up out of Egypt until this day, forsaking me and serving other gods, so they're doing to you. Can you imagine the pressure, the string attached that Saul has in his life starting this job off? I mean, I want you to imagine your job, whether you're a parent, whether you have a job somewhere downtown, and the person before you had that job was God. And then they say, you know what? We fired the last guy. He was not cutting it, but we really think that you're going to be able to fill in nicely, right? I mean, God was the king, and they said, not enough. So Saul's supposed to come in and somehow wow them? I mean, he already has this string attached in his life this way. And why was this? Well, because they wanted a king like the other nations had. And so my first question for you is, do you ever expect others or yourself to do what only God was meant to do? Do you ever expect others or yourself to only do what God was meant to do? Because if that's true, then you've got a string attached in your life. So Grant, come on, I think we need a visual to help us out with this because we're gonna see what it looks like when you have all these strings attached in your life. So I'm going to physically latch myself to this. And Grant, just pass that to somebody on the audience. And, you know, it's going to be tough. I'm going to be very limited up on stage. Matt, just hold that on to me. Don't pull too hard. I don't want to rip a belt loop. These are the only nice pants I got, all right? So Saul's got this string attached that the people have an expectation of him to do what God was meant to do. And so we have that same situation. Saul was chosen by God, and it's interesting that God gives the people what they're asking for. So that phrase, be careful what you ask for, it's true. God gives them exactly what they're asking for. They wanted a king like all the nations around them. And so let's find out what a king like the other nations around them was like. In the next verse, it says this, Kish had a son named Saul, an impressive young man without equal among the Israelites. Well, how is he without equal? A head taller than any of the others. You see, being a head taller is significant because all the kings of the nations around them, they were descendants of what the Bible calls the Nephilim giants. These were massive people. And so you want a king like all the other nations? We got to get the tallest guy around. So they get Saul, who's a head taller than everybody else. Here's an example of it in Deuteronomy. His name was Og, king of Bashan. Do not name your kids that. They will regret you ever being their parents, okay? But his bed was made of iron, and it was 13 feet long. For reference, that's more than twice as long as a king-sized bed would be. So this guy is humongous. We know another famous giant, a champion named Goliath, who is from Gath, came out of the Philistine camp, and he was over 9 feet tall. And if you remember, before we even have kings in Israel, God's bringing the Israelites to the promised land, and they get there, and they notice something about the people in the land. They say this in Numbers. The land we explored devours those living in it. All the people we saw there are of great size. We saw the Nephilim, that's the giants. We saw the Nephilim there. And we seem like grasshoppers in our own eyes, and we look the same to them. So it's like they saw us, and we could tell, yeah, you're small. So it's like they've got this fear because of how massive these people are. And we've been doing this not just back in history, we do it today. There's a book that came out in 2009 called The Tall Book. And the author says this, tall people do make more money. They make $789 more per inch per year. I'm 5'6". Come on, people. You know? It's not fair. If I was 6'6", I would on average make $10,000 a year more than I make right now in the culture that we live in, because we've got this same idea that our physical appearance, a string attached, is somehow going to be what's necessary in life. And so, Grant, let's get another string here, because my goodness, apparently, you know, I'm not tall enough to do the job right. And so we've got this string attached that I'm always going to be living by. So would you please just hold that string? Once again, don't yank too hard. Just hold it there. This is representing life is getting complicated for Saul, because now the string attached is the only reason he's there is because he's tall, okay? I mean, if you're a person that has that problem, you can recognize it, okay? So here's my question, second question. Do we attach strings to ourselves based on our physical appearance? Do you have something about the way that you look to others that you somehow think makes me unqualified for whatever it is that's going on? Most of us probably don't ever worry about our looks and stuff, so we'll move on from that point, right? The tension that Saul is feeling here is beginning to eventually undo him. You see, out of a desire to please the people, that's what a string attached is you're pleasing people based on what they think. Well, he eventually disobeys God. Because when you have all these strings attached, you have to check in. Hey, is it okay if I go over here? Is it okay if I move there? Because you've got a string attached here, and you've got to check in with them. And so they go on this mission for God, all right? And the mission was to completely destroy one of the enemies of the Israelites. So they go, and they win the battle by God's hand. But instead of destroying the livestock, they keep the best of it. And they keep the king alive, and they bring it back to the camp. And all of a sudden, Saul gets confronted, and he says this, all right? He says, the soldiers brought them from the Amalekites. Like, he completely shirks responsibility. And they spared the best of the sheep and the cattle to sacrifice to the Lord your God. But we totally destroyed the rest. I mean, this sounds like a lame excuse from your kid, right? Like, you know what? I know I disobeyed what you told me to do, but it was better this way, right? Like, look at all the advantages of me disobeying you, mom and dad. This is what Saul is doing with God. He's saying, I was going to sacrifice it to the Lord. But he gets called on the carpet. And so this is what he says. I have sinned. I violated the Lord's command and your instruction. I was afraid of the people, and so I gave in to them. So we've got another string here, Grant. Come on. It's getting real limiting up here. Can't even move around. I'm afraid if I sneeze, I'm going to yank someone out of the pulpit, you know. And so my third question is, do we blame others for making it hard or inconvenient for us to follow God, for us to do what he said? And it's not a bad thing. Sorry for all the strings attached. I know, granted, it makes life complicated here, but do we blame other people for us not being able to follow where God leads us? The last verse of this chapter, it's haunting. It simply says, the Lord regretted that he had made Saul king over Israel. I want to hear, well done, good and faithful servant. Not that he regretted the position that he put me in. But don't miss the next point. Because Saul wasn't just somebody who only cared about what people thought. He also cared about what God thought. And so, Grant, one more string here. He was not just some faithless heathen. He genuinely cared about what God wanted out of life. And so he's got this other string here. Oh, you know, I might need somebody to come, you know, sit on that front row for me, because I need the string attached. There you go, Blake. Just hold on to that for me. Saul cares about a lot of people, including God. It's not just that he cares about what they want. He does also care about what God wants. But as you can begin to see, it doesn't quite work that way. It's not as simple as just making God your first priority. He's got to be your only priority. You can't have this, because if God wants me to go this direction, I got to check in with all these other people that have strings attached before I can go do what God wants me to do. This is what it looks like when you live a life with strings attached. And so we realize that God can't just be a piece of the pie, even a really big piece of the pie. He's got to be the whole pie. That's what it means to be someone after God's own heart, which takes us to Israel's second king, David. Not a perfectly moral man. You can go read through it and you can find the things that he did wrong, but do find the one thing that he did right, which is he lived a life with only one string attached, and that was to God. And so this is what it says when Samuel is talking to Saul at the end of his kingship. But now your kingdom will not endure. The Lord has sought out a man after his own heart and appointed him ruler of his people because you have not kept the Lord's command. And so the Lord said to Samuel, do not consider the next king's appearance or height. That's why he says that, because they'd already done that mistake. What's the point of having a king that's tall like all the other nations? That didn't work out. I want somebody that's after my own heart. He says, I've rejected him. The Lord does not look at the things that man looks at. Man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. God cares about your heart because it will determine where you are pulled to and what you are kept from. That's why the heart matters. And David could have had a bunch of strings attached, just like Saul did. And so let's look at his story, because when we get to the story of David and Goliath, there's a lot of people wanting to attach strings to David. And the first one is his brother, okay? So David shows up on the scene, and I just want you to imagine your sibling's voice in this, and it will make perfect sense, okay? So this is what happens. David shows up, and his brother says, why have you come down here? You know that feeling like when you walk downstairs and your brother's like upset at your presence? What are you doing down here? It's like, that's what it feels like here, okay? What are you doing here? And who's watching those sheep in the desert? I know how conceited you are and how wicked your heart is. You came just to watch the battle. When you live a life like David with no strings attached, you're going to end up in places that the world tells you you have no right to be in. Don't listen to them. Don't listen to them. In fact, when they do say that, this is how I want you to respond. Just like David, in the next verse, it says, then he turned away to someone else and brought up the same matter. It was like, I don't care what you're saying over here. I'm going to turn to somebody else that will listen. And so when somebody questions you doing what God has called you to do, don't waste your time trying to make them happy. That's a string attached. Just go do what God has called you to do and let the cookies crumble where they may, okay? The next one is that Saul, David's employer, the ruler of the entire nation, he also tries to attach a string. Saul thinks that he's too young. You're not able to go out against this Philistine and fight him. You're only a boy. And surprise, surprise here that Saul, the man with all the strings attached, he also thinks that David should have some strings attached. And we know people like that, right? You walking in freedom with God is going to make people feel uncomfortable about the strings attached in their life. And so they're going to think, maybe I should get some strings attached to them, because then they'll look like me and that makes me feel better about myself. Don't do it. Live a life of freedom with no strings attached. And then you've got David's adversary, Goliath, and he is attaching strings with emotion. Because David walks out on the battlefield and Goliath says, am I a dog that you come at me with sticks? I mean, can you imagine getting on the basketball court and someone just insulting you by stepping onto the court? I mean, this is like times 20 though, because at the end of this battle, Goliath is expecting to kill David. And so your enemies are going to insult you. They're going to underestimate you. They're going to overestimate themselves. Do not expect your enemies' respect. We spend a lot of time and effort trying to get our enemies to respect us when they're never going to us. And it ends up being a string that's attached to our life that just distracts us from doing what God has called us to do. So don't worry whether your enemies respect you or not. Be like David, who cared not for the unsolicited feedback of people that wanted to attach strings. He only cared for one thing, that God was living in him. And that version of David knows no limits because God knows no limits. Who I am is clearly seen in who Jesus is because Jesus lives in me. And it's the same for us. So who cares if your enemies don't think you have what it takes? Don't waste your time on that. Just do what God's called you to do. So what do we have attached in our lives? Maybe it's pleasing your family. And so you feel like I've got to check in with them before I maybe do what God's called me to do. It's a great thing to do, but I think we all also know what it feels like to feel that pressure to please our family. Or maybe you feel the pressure to make enough money, which is a great thing. Last time I checked, all my food cost dollar bills. But if you're going to let that string of money be attached, well, man, that's going to limit and dictate where you go in life, because you're going to have to check in with the money before you go do what God's called you to do. Or maybe it's physical appearance. You're just a boy. You're too small. You don't have fill in the blank. Maybe you need the approval of others. Maybe you want your motives to be justified and not questioned. You know that feeling when someone questions your motives, and so you spend all day long thinking how you could have said something different so that they wouldn't have questioned your motives? You're just wasting your time. And who also have you given permission to attach strings to yourself? Because sometimes we do this ourselves, but sometimes people walk up to us and say, here's a string, and we say, okay, and we attach it onto ourselves. But just because someone expects it of you doesn't mean that they have to get it. Just because someone manipulates their way into your heart and makes you feel like they should make you happy doesn't mean that they deserve to get to have that string attached in your life so they can pull you whenever they so desire. And we do this for a good reason. I believe that we are created to need affirmation. We breathe in affirmation on a daily basis. So don't feel guilty that you feel like you need affirmation, but church, we've picked the bad sources for it. We've picked our family, which you would think would be a great one. We've picked our bosses. We've picked our enemies. And we're looking for affirmation in all the wrong places, when all the while God is saying, you've already got it from me. You're already affirmed by me. So what does it look like to live a life with no strings attached, like we see in David? I believe Jesus says it best, and so I'm going to read from him. If anyone comes to me and does not hate father or mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, even their own life, such a person cannot be my disciple. And so, maybe you detach that string so you're a little more free to do what God has called you to. Foxes have dens and birds have nests, but the Son of Man, well, he has no place to lay his head. I just bought a house last week. I guess I better be ready to sell it if I'm going to go where God wants me to go freely. No one can serve two masters. Either you will hate the one and love the other, or you'll be devoted to one and despise the other. You can't serve both God and money. I guess I better be ready to quit a job if God wants me to go somewhere. But because of the Pharisees, they would not openly acknowledge their faith for fear that they would be put out of the synagogue, for they loved human praise more than the praise from God. Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. For whoever wants to save their life will lose it. But whoever loses their life, cuts the strings, well, they will find it. What good will it be for someone to gain the whole world, strings attached, and yet forfeit their very soul? And my favorite one, but seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these other things will be added to you. You see, that's the good news of following Jesus Christ, is you get one string attached in your life to him, and he adds all the rest to you. You don't have to worry about them. But you got to cut these strings before you can go where God knows you need to go. And so here's my challenge for us this morning. Live a life with no strings attached. It'll be the scariest thing you've ever done to cut these cords, because they look like they're good things. But I promise you, if you just let one string be attached to Jesus Christ and Jesus Christ alone, he will add everything that you need into your life, and you get the simplicity of just saying, Lord, what are we doing today? Have you ever had that anxiety from the moment you wake up in the morning where you're like, well, everything that I got to get done? Well, when you live a life with no strings attached except to Jesus Christ, what you do is you wake up and you say, what are we doing, Jesus? And amazingly, he answers. Amazingly, he guides us. Amazingly, we get to live a life of freedom with God. So church, let's cut the strings today and let's find our life, okay?